When a couple gets divorced, the sale of their home can play a huge role in the settlement. The house is often their biggest asset, and usually it has to be sold so they can split the proceeds and finalize the divorce. Sarah Lerner of member station KUOW in Seattle reports couples in this predicament provide a specialized real estate market.
With three kids under the age of five, Huri Mansouri's husband walked out.
I was confused as to what was happening to me after 10 years of marriage. You think it's for better or for worse, and he's not there to help me. And I was basically in a confusion state of mind.
Still, she had to put her house on the market, a market in which her neighbors' homes were not selling. And the house had to sparkle while she packed it up to move from Washington State to Texas.
At the time when you're going through the most difficult time of your life, they call divorce worse than death. To have someone that's there for you and assist you and makes you feel like they're here to help you in every step of the way with selling your house, it's godsend.
Really, it's a simple, singular goal, and that's to, as efficiently as possible, get to the end of the road, which is the sale of their home.
Scott Wieda was Mansouri's realtor. He says he's learned how to handle these sensitive situations with parting couples.
I never try to force them to communicate together, which means a lot of separate and duplicate communication, so that neither ever has the impression that I'm trying to force the agenda of one on the other.
Wieda glides through the John Scott Real Estate headquarters outside Seattle. He has an office at the agency, which is in itself a sign of success. Many of his colleagues share a general workroom.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, how are you, Scott?
I'm well, thanks.
Most realtors avoid divorce sales because of all the extra problems that can come up and the high emotion. Sometimes Wieda's clients tell him all the details of a contentious situation.
My role at that point, when someone needs to get something off their chest, is simply to let that happen. Because if people aren't able to express themselves, then it causes frustration. And the last thing that I need is for a husband or for a wife to be frustrated with me because they are perceiving that I don't get it.
Some divorce lawyers even refer their clients to real estate agents who specialize in divorce. Joanna Roth practices family law in Seattle.
My job is to help people reach agreements in divorce. So as much as I can, I try to get clients to work with their spouse, and if they're working with a realtor who has some understanding of what people are going through in divorce, then I think they have a better chance at reaching agreement on the sales price and on the sales terms.
Roth says the realtor's relationship with a client can go further than the attorney's.
It's more intimate in a way, working with people in their houses and helping them go through their things and helping them box them up.
She says her clients deal with serious emotional upheaval, not only with the divorce, but even just with selling the family home.
My clients typically are hungry for some compassion.
I can honestly look at almost every one of my clients and say, I understand what you're feeling right now.
Wieda himself divorced 2 years ago, right when the housing market tanked. He has five kids. It wasn't easy. After the split, he realized he liked helping people who are going through the same thing.
I felt alone when I was going through it personally, and I know that usually, if they let me participate how I work best in participating, they won't feel alone in the process. And that's important to me.
And then, Wieda says, his clients can finally move on. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Lerner in Seattle.
State and local governments are starting a year of just trying to get by. Nassau County on New York's Long Island is among the wealthiest places in America, but its troubled finances could force the state to take control. Here's NPR's Jim Zaroli.
When police arrest someone for child abuse in Nassau County, the victims are often brought here to begin healing. It's called a safe place, and it's run by a nonprofit called the Coalition Against Child Abuse and Neglect. These days, says Executive Director Cynthia Scott, the organization's future is uncertain.
I guess there's a piece of all of us that we're holding our breaths because I don't know that we know all that much about it or what to expect should that happen.
The problem is that the coalition gets much of its money from Nassau County, which is struggling with a budget crisis. This crisis has been years in the making, says Lawrence Levy, who heads the National Center for Suburban Studies at Hofstra University.
Even without the recession hitting the county as hard as it did, the county was still on a trajectory where it was spending more than it was taking in. And it was papering over this structural deficit by borrowing, by overestimating revenues, and by underestimating expenditures.
With a recession, the county's troubles have only grown worse. Tax revenues have fallen sharply, especially sales tax, and there are no easy ways to deal with the problem. Nassau County is home to some very wealthy people. The Great Gatsby was set here, but much of the population is more middle class.
And then we got four bedrooms up here. This was great, like seven children.
Frank Russo is retired from his job as a manager at AT&T, but he still lives in the house he bought in Port Washington in 1975. He and his wife raised seven children here.
Three girls were in here, two boys in here, and two boys in here.
Wow. In the years since Russo bought the house, local property taxes have gone from about $3,000 a year to nearly $16,000.
My income is my pension and my Social Security. That's 98% of my income. And this has taken a big part of it, the property taxes. It's the single biggest expense, I'd say, that we have. Nothing else comes near it.
In 2009, voters like Russo expressed their frustration by turning the incumbent Democratic county executive out of office. They replaced him with a Republican administration that promised to cut taxes. George Maragos is the county's new comptroller.
Nassau County is one of the highest tax counties in the country. We have a net outflow of people and businesses from this county. We need to make it attractive for our young families to stay here.
One of the county executive's first moves was to repeal a new energy tax. The move was popular, but it made the bad budget situation worse. A fiscal watchdog agency appointed by the state soon threatened to seize control of the county's finances. Republicans like Maragos see the move as a power grab by the state legislature.
You have unelected officials making judgments as to who to penalize and who to tax. And that's, we think, unfair and inappropriate and somewhat undemocratic.
Last fall, Moody's downgraded the county's debt. Maragos says Nassau County can solve its budget problems as long as municipal unions agree to big wage and benefit concessions. The county pays some of the highest wages in the country. Many police officers earn well over $100,000 a year. But if the unions won't go along, county officials will have to make large cuts in services. Maragos says the county spends a lot more than it needs to.
Does the county need to operate a rifle range? Do we need to be in the business of operating golf courses? It may have been great some years ago when there was a lot of money as an additional service to the public, but is it something the taxpayer want to pay and subsidize?
But Hofstra's Lawrence Levy isn't sure how much budget-cutting Nassau County residents are really ready for. Levy says county officials are in a real bind.
They have voters who love their services. They want a cop on every corner. They want a park on every block. They want to know that the bus is going to come when the bus is supposed to come. But if you say, okay, great, we got to raise your property taxes 3% or 4% or 5%, they'll vote you out of office.
In that sense, he says what's happening in Nassau County isn't much different from what's happening in Washington. But unlike the federal government, the county can't run a deficit each year. And that means in tough times like these, it has to face up to its problems and make some painful choices about what it wants to be. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, New York.
The banking giant J.P. Morgan Chase has admitted that it overcharged more than 4,000 active duty military personnel on their home loans. As first reported by NBC News, the bank also says it mistakenly foreclosed on the homes of 14 soldiers. As NPR's Tamara Keith reports, members of the military have special protections, but in this case, they didn't work.
Julia Rolls and her husband, Marine Captain Jonathan Rolls, have been fighting with Chase Bank for years. Basically, ever since Captain Rolls was commissioned as an officer in 2006.
They would say, we will take your house. We will report you to the credit agency. This is a bad situation that you don't want to be getting into. Pay us today. They were harassing us for money that we did not owe them.
Her husband once got a collection call at 3 a.m., and none of that was supposed to happen. Under a federal law called the Service Members Civil Relief Act, most troops can get their mortgage interest rates reduced to 6% while on active duty, and foreclosures aren't allowed. Rolls says her husband, who is now overseas, was granted the lower interest rate, but Chase didn't adjust its records.
They kept still charging us 9 and 10%, and we were paying upwards to $2,000 when we should have only been paying $14,000. $500.
This week, Chase said it would be sending out $2 million worth of refunds to 4,000 active duty customers like the Rolls who were overcharged. It also admitted wrongfully foreclosing on 14 homes and said all but one of those cases has been resolved. Bank officials declined an interview request, but in a statement said, quote, "While any customer mistake is regrettable, we feel particularly badly about the mistakes we made here." But attorney Dick Harpootlian in Columbia, South Carolina, isn't ready to accept the apology. He's one of the lawyers representing the Rolls family in what he hopes will become a class action lawsuit against Chase.
I was a prosecutor for 12 years. Everybody that got caught taking money that wasn't theirs always said they were sorry. Offered to give it back and call it even. And that's just not what ought to happen in cases like this.
This latest incident is further proof why we need a strong consumer financial protection agency.
That's Elizabeth Warren, a special assistant to President Obama. She's putting together the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. It was created by Congress to look out for consumers in the wake of the financial crisis and will also focus on protecting military families.
We need a cop on the beat. The laws are in place, but there's no one to enforce them and no one to speak up for these families. This is just wrong.
Warren says the laws exist so service members can concentrate on doing their jobs.
Not be worried about paperwork and bills and whether or not a loved one is being harassed for money that's not even owed.
Yesterday, Warren visited Lackland Air Force Base in Texas to talk to military families about their financial concerns. She was joined by Holly Petraeus, the wife of General David Petraeus, the commander of U.S. forces in Afghanistan. Mrs. Petraeus was one of the first hires for the new Consumer Bureau.
I really can't think of anything better to be doing while my husband is deployed forever than, you know, working on a project like this.
She'll head the Office of Service Member Affairs, an office that will be on the lookout for issues like those at Chase. Tamara Keith, NPR News, Washington.
The housing market, however, remains weak. This morning, the Commerce Department said builders broke ground on fewer houses in December. Housing starts fell more than 4% from the previous month. And as NPR's Chris Arnold reports, some economists would like to see more action from Washington.
After crashing down around 30% in many areas, home prices appeared to be leveling off a few months ago. That was with the help of a federal homebuyer tax credit. But in recent months, after that tax credit expired, prices in many areas have been sliding lower again.
And those foreclosures are starting to push prices down again.
Chris Mayer is an economist with Columbia University. He says he'd like to see Congress and the Obama administration do more to shore up housing.
I think the government is just looked and said, you know what, we've done a bunch of stuff with housing, nothing's really worked, maybe we'll just sort of hope for the best.
Mayer says that's a mistake because the market is still very fragile. And he thinks it's become too hard for average people to qualify to buy a home or even just to refinance. As the new Congress gets underway, Mayer hopes that legislation will move forward that could make it easier for millions of Americans to qualify to refinance.
I think the government can still help those people. You know, you're talking about savings in many cases of hundreds of dollars a month, a big amount for households that are struggling to get by.
The legislation would target what critics say are unnecessary requirements that make it harder for homeowners to refinance at today's lower interest rates. Chris Arnold, NPR News.